two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
Rob. Let's get the show on the road.
We can't get on the road. It's not a mobile show. There's wiring and all here that's going to not want to go with us at that point.
Celebrities go, but Drew, we could do this stadium to stadium.
I would love a bus tour. Let's go. Let's go traveling with the Giants.
Next season.
LPG style. Yeah. Minus the him going back to work on Monday, because he always talks about that. I'm like, that's gotta be exhausting, dude.
That's a real fan.
All right, so today, guys, we're gonna go over a kind of an interesting topic. I think here, you know, every draft there's a couple guys who go, this guy's father played 20 years ago. No, this is the draft that there's like a dozen players who legitimately their fathers played in the NFL. And most of them, honestly, they're not like played two seasons and was a backup for a couple of games kind of thing. These are like Hall of Fame players producing children in this draft now. Like wide receiver alone is like amazing. Who's who of children here, basically. So we thought it'd be a little fun to break up that content here we've been doing as far as the top 10 and go over to some of the players there that are, like I said, sons of former NFL players. And some of these guys are guys we won't go over when we discuss, you know, top 10, top 15, top 20, whatever we do in the particular position. Some of these we've already done the position groups and they weren't included. So we thought it'd be fun. Let's go over these guys. So their name will come up. It's going to come up at some point. And because of who their daddies are, in some of their cases, it's going to make their names come up in a lot higher position than they typically would. Whether by the announcers that are talking about the draft or the actual guys at the podium announcing the picks there. So let's get into it here. We have number one. This is a name that when you hear it, I think you'll know pretty much right away who his father is.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you must be new to football. Welcome. So you got Frank Gore Jr., obviously the son of Frank Gore Sr. And what I love is I was able to find this picture of him, you know, with his dad when he was a little kid. And here he is with his little kid. And here he is years later now coming back into, you know, where he's going to be an NFL player now here soon. Frank Gore Jr. is out of Southern Mississippi. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
I mean, he almost looks like his old man.
He does. He does. I think a lot of teams are wishing that he plays like his old man. That's for damn sure. 5'8", 201 pounds, 22 years old. Last season played 12 games, 231 rushes for 1,131 yards. That's a 4.9 yards per carry average with 10 touchdowns. 27 receptions, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an 88.0 PFF grade there. Prior year in 22, 13 games, 228 receptions for 1,382 yards. The 6.1 yards per carry average there, 9 touchdowns, 19 receptions for 219 yards. And yeah, I mean, listen, it's a good, healthy college career, especially anytime you can do back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving, you know, 1,000-yard rushing seasons as a running back in this league where, listen, whether it's college or pros, let's be honest, teams don't run like they used to. The running back is not featured. So when you can do that, that tells people you probably are the best offensive player on your team.
Yeah,
so.
And if you look at it too, just broke down the stats, right? How great Frank Gore, pretty solid.
Yeah.
Kind of like his daddy's numbers. And you know, cool. He's also his daddy's size.
I would say nowhere near his dad's numbers.
Well, all right, come on. Let's not. Let's go 30 years at NFL compared to a couple years in college.
I'm just saying, like,
you gotta, saying, like, when you talk about his average yards.
average yards at Southern Mississippi versus the NFL. If you want to go that route, yeah, Southern Mississippi. Like, this is not a big school. This is not like he went to Alabama. You know,
right. I was just saying the stats.
Pride of Hattiesburg. Just saying. That's, like I said, not exactly the biggest program in the world. I don't want to disrespect it. It's still a legit program. You know?
Yeah. He's not going to be the running back one for the next 10 years and be a good combination guy for the next 5 years and then solid running back.
I mean,
two for the next 5 years after that. But he has potential. He's going to have a career in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, players can come out of Southern Miss and be a good player. I mean, Brett Favre, classic example. You know, he obviously came out of Mississippi and obviously had a hell of a career. So we'll never know, but he's not projected to go very high. A lot of project him at like a 7th round pick. You know, as far as his father, for those who aren't aware of how good his father was, who just retired a couple of years ago, he was this close to being like LeBron and Bronny here, or Brony, whatever his name is. And being like on the same team as his son. You know, you got 16-year career for Frank Gore, 16,000 career rushing yards. That's the third most
on the dot.
Yeah. Third most. 19,992 all purpose yards. That's the fifth most in NFL history. 5-time Pro Bowler and a Hall of Famer. That's some good genetics to get your hands on there for you know, if your dream is to play in the NFL there. You know, Frank Gore is one of those guys that he's kind of like, you know, he was never like, okay, this is the best running back in football, but he had a long, solid career where he was consistently for a long time a top 10 running back in the league. And even later on when he was retiring, you know, he still was 600 some odd yards with the Jets his last season there back in 2000. He could have still probably played if someone gave him a call. So, yeah, Frank Gore Jr., like I said, we'll see if he can be half the player his dad was. But listen, if you're got like a 6th or 7th round pick and you want to take a shot on a running back, why not take the shot on somebody who comes from that kind of family and that kind of genes at that point? That you can do a lot worse than that. I mean,
yeah, especially with that kind of, like, I guess, how would you say it? Like, I call home on Sunday for Sunday dinner. My dad and I talk, and then, you know, maybe Frank Gore Jr. do the same thing, and they go, "Hey, son, how'd you run today?" I went to the left, I lateral here, and Frank.
Oh, I'm sure.
Senior Frank goes, "Hey, you should have went to the right, to the left. You juked when you should have jumped, or whatever."
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Frank is watching his son's games religiously. You know, because keep in mind, one of the things too with this is that when he was in high school and all, Senior was still playing. He missed a lot of the Pop Warner games, the youth league games, the high school games. And I'm sure now that he's, you know, out of football the last 4 years, he's probably been watching religiously and probably watched the last year or two of high school and now the college, you know?
Well, I'm sure that Frank also went to Frank. Granted, he did travel.
He couldn't. He was playing football. He was playing.
He had to be in New York.
He had to be in New York. He had to be in Miami. He had to be the places he played. You can't just go, "Hey, my son's got a game. I'll see you guys tomorrow." Unless you got that agreement, you know, who knows? Yeah, it's not typical. It's not typical.
Pop Warner, you normally play on a Saturday compared to a Sunday.
Saturday's a travel day, depending where you're going.
Travel after your son's game.
I'm just saying. I just don't.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't see it happen. I don't think it will work out that way. All right. Let's move on from the running backs onto the group that is probably the highest touted group here. And we did it by alphabetical order, last name, to avoid any, you know, people going, "Oh, you prefer this person to that person." That's not what we're saying. We're going to tell you where they're at. And we've talked about some of these guys here already in our wide receivers. So we're going to kind of glance over some of these guys and kind of, you know, sit down a spell and go over some of the guys that weren't in that initial top 20 selections we had there. So first up, obviously, again, another guy that if you can't figure out who his daddy is, you got issues, guys. Marvin Harrison Jr., the son of Marvin Harrison.
Senior.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle that fits so well and easily together there. And here's another one, too. I found another picture of here he is as a little kid there. with his dad on the field after a game. And, you know, it's weird to see, like, here he is all grown up now, but here he was as this little kid, you know, especially, I'm sure, if you're a Colts fan or somebody who was a Marvin Harrison fan and grew up watching him. And, you know, some of these guys, their kids were on the sidelines like crazy because, again, it was the weekend. They had off of school. They were able to be there. They, you know, usually, they, especially with the younger kids, they moved with, you know, the mom and the little kids would move to the team's town, you know, to go ahead and be supportive like that. So, but yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably going to be the first selected wide receiver off the board this draft, if not the second at the worst case scenario. Over 1,200 yards the last two seasons, 6'3", 209 pounds, 21 years old. Again, we can't talk enough good about the guy. He's the surefire pick. He's the most safe pick, even if he doesn't have the higher ceiling. We said, when we did our wide receiver show, Malik Neighbors probably has the highest ceiling, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is the safest pick overall. Who knows? He might be a Giant. We're going to find out. That's the guy who could be a Giant. It'd be kind of nice to see Marvin Harrison Sr. at the practices and all.
It'd be fantastic, but I'm sure he's going to be a Cardinal.
I'm not so sure on that. I'm hearing more and more about a Viking trade coming up to go to number four to take J.J. McCarthy.
I've been hearing that, but...
And if that happens, who knows what the Chargers do? Because Harbaugh was actually talking more and more about taking a lineman, which is what I thought they would do initially. But I thought when they got rid of the two big receivers, they would not do that. But I think what their thought process might be is you can get a guy like Joe Alt now at number five, and you can get one of the lesser receivers later on and build a whole receiver committee and just trust you have the good quarterback that can take care of it. Just saying, food for the thought. There's options out there. So we'll have to see what happens. The Giants might actually get their pick of any of the wide receivers they want, which would be a really interesting scenario. Anyway, for those who aren't aware who Marvin Harrison Sr. is, we haven't gone over him before. 13-year career, 1,102 career receptions, fifth most in NFL history, 14,580 receiving yards, ninth most in NFL history, 128 receiving TDs, fifth most in NFL history, one Super Bowl win, three times first team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, and, of course, the Hall of Fame. Yeah, very, very good career Marvin Harrison Sr. had. And rumor was he was going to keep on playing. He actually signed his last year with the number 14 with the Patriots and just couldn't take the way the Patriots ran practice and all, just walked away. Remember that when that happened? He just couldn't take it. He didn't like the Patriot way. But he was still determined to play. So, you know, who knows? It might be just an excuse and he kind of realized he didn't have it anymore and was like, yeah, I'll just blame it on this.
I mean, could be.
13 years is a decent career to have, that's for sure. So,
especially at receiver.
Oh, yes. But any position. I mean, listen, the average career is what, three. Years? I mean, yeah. I mean,
3 years.
You make it over 10 years, you did something right. So, all right. Next up is another guy we haven't talked about here because he wasn't in that initial top 20 now when we did our wide receiver show. And that is Luke McCaffrey, the son of Ed McCaffrey, who was a former Giant, by the way. If you notice there, the picture we have on the screen, for those of you guys watching the video, that is Luke there with his dad when his dad was a Bronco. The other person there with him, the other little guy, is Christian McCaffrey. So may ring a bell there. I don't know which one is which. I don't know that. The picture just happened to say here was Ed with Christian and Luke when I took the picture.
We're looking at this, and there's a guy that's been in the league for a while, and someone coming out of college. I'm assuming Christian is the bigger one.
I would assume no, but I'm saying I would assume so as well, but I just don't want to say for sure, so I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, Luke McCaffrey played the last three seasons over at Rice, and then prior to that played two seasons over at Nebraska. Started out as a quarterback, actually, in Nebraska. Prior to transferring over to Rice, he only had two catches in his 2 years over at Nebraska as a receiver. So, you know, really was trying to be a quarterback, was their backup quarterback, couldn't quite get the starting role, and decided to shift gears at that point there. Goes over to Rice. He's 6'2", 198 pounds. He's 22 years old. Last season there, he was 13 games, 71 receptions, 992 yards, 13 touchdowns. Did actually rush the ball a little bit there, 15 rushes for 117 yards, had an 80.1 PFF grade overall. The prior year in 22 had 11 games, 58 receptions for 723 yards, 6 touchdowns, 12 rushes for 148 yards and 1 touchdown as well. So, you know, I want to give the guy kudos for kind of shifting because, you know, again, he wanted to be a quarterback, couldn't quite hack it. I just accepted that. And I want to say gave up, but shifted to a position he was better suited for at that point. And obviously, he's got the family background to go ahead and play wide receiver. And obviously, his dad, I'm sure, coached him up a lot and taught him a lot of the stuff at that point. But listen, it's impressive. I don't care how small a school Rice is, to go in after not playing receiver for years and go into a year and have over 700 yards receiving right off the bat.
100%.
And then almost have 1,000 yards the next season. You know,
this might be the next, like, Kelce brothers saga going on here. Like, you got...
I won't go that far. I don't think he'll be a Pro Bowler in this league. I really don't.
I'm not saying...
Well, I'm saying those two are Pro Bowlers. I don't think he'll be a Pro Bowler.
I was going to say very talented.
Okay. You
know, brothers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're all talented. Listen, you get even in the NFL draft in any way, shape, or form in the conversation, you're talented.
But who knows? Kelce's always been a Pro Bowler, Jason. But a lot of people, like, kind of overlooked him for a long time. And
yeah, it's funny. Later in his career is when he really got to be a big name. And I think part of that is because of Travis, as weird as that sounds. Travis was the one who wanted the attention and the shine, and that's why Jason got it. But I mean, Luke comes in, and I think he's got a wide projection there because he's a project. Let's be very frank. Again, 2 years in college, you know, as a receiver, you know, 3 years just, I don't want to say wasted, but kind of wasted as far as wide receiver growth, if that makes sense.
Yes and no, because the one advantage is wide receiver has to catch from a quarterback. Quarterback has to throw to a wide receiver. So you understand routes, you understand dynamics. So as a wide receiver that's played quarterback and you're in a scramble, you understand more of what he's going through and what he needs to go through and signals. So
yes,
it could be to an advantage. I'm not saying it's a 100% disadvantage, but you're right. He's not running routes, but it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter to that point, is because once he goes to the team in the NFL, he's going to be running different routes than he ran in
college. I mean, the route tree is the same. It's just a matter they might call it something different at that point. There, the route trees are pretty much the same no matter where you play, whether it's high school even at that point. It's the same thing. They might have different names for him, different numbers for him at that point there. But you know, I mean, a four route is a hook route pretty much no matter where you go. A nine route is a go route no matter where you go.
Yeah, and it's funny, quarterbacks know that too.
I obviously they do, but you don't get the nuances of some of the route running stuff that you gain over time. I'm just saying he's raw, and that you can take that as a good thing. You take it as a bad thing because you can sit there and say, okay, here's a guy who did almost 1,000 yards in his second year as a receiver, and again, it's his second year. He didn't play receiver very much, and he's got the good family tree at that point there, you know. So again, I would take a shot at him later on if I needed like a fourth, you know, fifth receiver. And you know what? If he develops, great. But worst case scenario, I got a bottom level receiver that's got some potential.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I thought that you have to kind of go with it as far as him.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be the number one receiver, but
I'm not suggesting you're saying that.
Yeah, he's got the potential to get up there to be like on your starting roster.
Yeah, I think his best bet he'll be is a solid three.
That's right. That's still a starter.
depending on what kind of offense you're in. But now, as far as his father, again, for those of you who may not be as old as me and Rob, we remember Ed McCaffrey very well, especially from his Broncos days. Played 13 years overall, 7,422 receiving yards on his career, one-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champion. You know, once as a scrub with the Niners, and then two times as a feature receiver there with John Elway and the Broncos there. Started his career there as a Giant, as I said, the first 3 years with New York Giants. Obviously, along with Luke McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey also is the father, as we mentioned, to Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in all of football, but also former wide receiver Max McCaffrey as well. So there's three McCaffrey kids, and looks like this will be the third one to get into the NFL. So that's goddamn impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, can't complain about that. That's for sure. Actually, their grandfather, and this is their maternal grandfather, was an Olympic sprinter. So they're just athletic teams on both sides all across the board at that point there. So, yeah. All right. Next up, another guy we didn't get to talk about in our receiver groups here. And I really wanted to find a picture of him as a little kid. I couldn't find one. I just like the little pictures of the kids with the dads in the field. I don't know why. It's they're nostalgic for me to see that kind of stuff. It's cool. But yeah, we got another Hall of Famer guy here. So we have T.O., Terrell Owens himself, having Tariq Owens here now into the draft, his son. And this is a guy that you don't get a lot of talk about, a lot of hype about. He kind of wasn't even talked about much until just this last week when he went to a pro day for another school and got to go out in front of some of the, you know, the big time NFL scouts out there. And again, you got the genetics at that point. It's got enough to intrigue people right there. This is a guy who was well traveled in college. Okay. And I got to be honest, I did a ton of investigating here, trying to find information on his college career. There's not much out there, guys. It's really weird. Played at Missouri State the last 3 years. Played 2 years at Florida Atlantic prior to that, and then played 1 year over at Contra Costa College back in 2008. He's 6'3", 200 pounds, 24 years old. Last year at Missouri State, he was 10 games, 28 receptions, 528 yards, and 4 touchdowns. The year prior, 10 games, 13 receptions, 171 yards. So, yeah, obviously numbers like that, he's projected to be undrafted. We, you know, you got to think with the name Owens and with the, you know, the push of certain people.
His lineage.
Yeah, that he'll probably get a camp invite. And I think that's probably where the everything will end, because I think once he gets to camp, if you can't make it at Missouri State, you're probably not an NFL quality player. Not to be disrespectful, because I certainly held one myself. But
so Dallas is not signing him first.
Listen, they should. I think they should draft him first round. I think they should trade up all their picks, like Ricky Williams style, first overall, and go ahead and draft
maybe Cincinnati.
Rick Owens. But yeah, obviously, for those who aren't aware of who his father is, Terrell Owens, 15-year career. 1,078 receptions, eighth most in NFL history, 15,934 receptions, third most in NFL history, 153 receiving touchdowns, again, third most in NFL history, five-time first-team All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, and again, Hall of Fame. I think it's safe to say, though, that Tariq Owens was not going to be nearly the player that his dad is. He gets, like I said, again, I can't get excited for even possibilities for a player that can exceed and excel at Missouri State, Florida Atlantic, or Contra Costa College. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right there. I thought you were about to say you couldn't get excited for a guy that couldn't put up, you know, his dad's numbers. I'd be like,
no, I listen. If he had put up like, even if he had put up like 900 yards or 800 yards at Missouri State,
if you put up like,
but 500 yards, he put up in 20 games. He basically put up 700 receiving yards in 20 games at Missouri State.
Yeah, not impressive.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. Like I said, he'll probably get a camp invite. Somebody will probably bring him in when he gets undrafted.
He's going to be probably like how the Giants of Crowder, like, come to the camp. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I just don't see it happening. I don't. All right.
Exactly.
We got one more guy here that we got to talk about here. We already talked about him in a wide receiver show. This guy is a guy who is going to make it in the NFL, that's for sure. And that is Brendan Rice, the son of the all-time great, the GOAT at the wide receiver position, Jerry Rice. So Brandon also moved around a little bit, played his first couple years at Colorado before playing next 2 years over at USC. Obviously played with Caleb Williams, which is always an interesting thing because he's an interesting quarterback to play for because he moves around there. Last year, 12 games, 45 receptions, 791 yards, 12 touchdowns, 6'2", 208 pounds, 21 years old. Again, we talked about he's going to be, you know, probably a you know, maybe round three, maybe round four kind of guy at that point. He's going to max out, I think, in this league as potentially a number two receiver. But worst case scenario, he's going to be a nice depth receiver, like a three or four spot on your depth chart there.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that. That's a legit NFL career if you can do that for enough years, you know?
I mean, we all have Victor Cruz, right?
Yep. But, you know, the problem is, I say, there's no shame in that. It's kind of like when your dad's Jerry Rice and you're like third or fourth on a depth chart. It's like,
Yeah, I hear what she's saying, but
I'm just saying, you're going to have people say that, though, and you're never going to live up to that.
It's a, yeah. How are you going to? It's
there's
not
no way.
Fair. There's not. It's not fair. It's not fair to him.
No.
Oh, are you the man that your father was? The best at the position? Can you be the best ever at this position? Like, come on, man.
It's like locking Albert Einstein to a room and say, I need you to come up with some new scientific equation stat.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to go there.
The best part about that, too, is that they're still proving him right 100 years ago.
For those who need a refresher on who Jerry Rice was, 19-year career, is the NFL leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving TDs. So that's when we call him the GOAT, we call him the GOAT with good reason. 3-time Super Bowl winner, 10-time first-team All-Pro, 13-time Pro Bowler, and obviously, yes, he was a Hall of Famer. Exactly. So,
fun fact, Drew, did I ever tell you that was my first game I saw Jerry Rice?
What? What?
My first ever football game I went to.
Huh. Okay.
I went to San Francisco and watched him play the Oakland Raiders back in 90.
I was saying, so was this a Niners or Raider version of Jerry Rice? But I guess that's the Niners version then.
It was Niners. I was my mother hadn't
crossed
the
Bay Bridge yet.
Yeah. My mother, as we all know, was born and raised outside, Sacramento area. And
well, I know, they don't know.
Yeah. My uncle held tickets to the games, and when I went out for my fifth birthday, they went, take the kids to the game.
There you go.
So I got Joe Montana.
Joe Montana, not Joe Montana.
Montana and Jerry Rice, so my first ever game.
Yeah, it's not a bad first game, that's for sure. All right. Let's, even though we're one shy of the halfway point here, we're going into a new group position wise here. So before we do that, let's pay the bills real quick. Let's read the comments and then we'll get right into the offensive line people here. Because there's a lot more offensive second gen than there is defensive. It is what it is.
Enjoying the show. Looking for more goofball action. Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Membership start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs.
Alrighty there. Deb starts us off with, is it cold down there in Florida, Drew? Well, it's 67 right now. Most days the highs are mid-70s to maybe low 80s. It's just cold in my house. My house is made cold. Which is very much the Florida way, by the way. I'll say that. People that may not know that. You go out, it's like 120 outside, and you go inside to the store, and you're putting a jacket on it. So it's the weird thing with Florida. They love making it cold inside. My wife was meant for Florida before she even moved there. Connor says, damn alarm. Thought I hit snooze. I hit stop. Anything important I missed? Did Roberto get ghetto yet? Does Roberto get ghetto often? I'm confused by this. Do you have some kind of reputation?
I was about to say, am I ghetto?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Should I know about this?
I was unaware of this.
Let me go get my knife.
It's like I don't even know you. All right. Let's get into the offensive line here, guys. And we got to start off with a guy that we went over him with the offensive line and we did the tackles already there. So we're kind of glance over this guy just a wee bit here. But this is a guy that when he is drafted and goes to a line, he is going to completely change the way that line functions as a whole. He's going to be that good. And that's Joe Ault, whose father is John Ault. Now, for those of you who may follow the Chiefs, you might know a little better who John is. But again, Joe, 6'7", 280 pounds, 21 years old. So still a good age as well for growth as far as a player goes. So played left tackle for most of his college career. Actually started off as a tight end. Played 12 games each of the last two seasons. They had a 90.7 PFF grade there last year at Notre Dame, as he was the hunchback of Notre
Dame.
Those
dams.
His father, though, again, very good player in his own right. John Ault was an offensive tackle, 13-year career overall, one-time second-team All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, and is in the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. So, yeah, not too shabby a career for John either at that point there. Next up, we have Javon Foster. Javon is a tackle there for Missouri. Not a lot of information on him either. It's weird. So every so often I come against a player when I'm trying to do like some scouting on them or some getting some information. And one thing that seems to get hidden sometimes is their date of birth. And it's the weirdest thing. Do you think that'd be like one of the questions people would ask on, you know, like, hey, how old is this guy? Like, what's his birthday? Like, is he 24? And like, we're probably close to maxing out where he's at. You know, is he 20, 21? And we have a lot of room for growth still, potentially. You know, that's an important question for scouting a player. Could not find his age anywhere, but he started playing in Missouri at 2018. So because of that, I'm going to guess he's like 23, 24 years old, probably. So that's sound math, I think, there. 6'5", 319 pounds. Played left tackle his entire career. So, yeah, that's the big boy, though. 6'5", 319 pounds. That's a decent size. Played 13 games, both in 22 and 23. Had a 84.8 PFF grade in 23 there. Most people have him projected to go about the fourth round at that point there. So he's going to be in that range where he's like a backup tackle slash developmental kind of pick at that point that may start eventually.
That could be 22 or 30.
Whatever. Yeah. It's just the weirdest, like I said, it's not the first player I've come across that I've had that problem with. I just don't, nobody lists his birthday anywhere for some reason. What's weirder is, you know, how difficult it was to find a picture of his father. This picture I found of his father actually was when he was playing at Ohio State. That's how far I had to go that far back to that man's life to find a picture online of him. It's the weirdest thing. Again, his father is Jerome Foster. Had a five-year career as a defensive lineman from 83 to 87. Played in 44 games, just four starts. So he was a backup his whole career, basically, at that point. So, again, I'm not expecting prolific, you know, oh, my God, let's show a picture of him every, you know, every single page everywhere at that point. But do you think it was just the 80s? There'd be one picture of him in an NFL uniform or something.
Somewhere. A little better.
Yeah, it was slim pickings with that one there, guys. Very, very slim pickings. But, all right. We got one more offensive lineman up here.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. And I did check to verify, in case anybody's wondering, because I have a feeling this is the kind of question that Connor would ask. He is not related to Ted Nugent. He is not any way, shape, or form related to him. Drake Nugent out of Michigan, whose father was Terry Nugent, who I also had trouble finding a decent picture of him, but he played...
That's fantastic.
He played his college at Colorado State, and I found that picture of him when he was doing a speaking engagement at Colorado State. I'm like, we're going to go with that one. What the hell? Let's go for it. So Drake Nugent is played last year at Michigan, played the prior two seasons over at Stanford. So obviously he's got a brain in that skull of his. 6'2", 301 pounds, 23 years old, played center his entire career. Played 12 games in 22, 15 games in 23 with a 78.0 PFF grade. Projected to go like the sixth round around there at that point. So, you know, a good, legit, solid center this past season for Michigan, but not quite where you get the scouts all excited at that point either. So keep in mind, he also played on a very stacked offensive line overall as well. And I think that partially hurts guys like that as well, where you go, okay, is he good or is it some of the players around him? You know, because Michigan was known for their hogs. They were known for having that kind of good offensive line. They were a big body offensive line with a running back that has kept running the ball time after time, like Cindy Lauper.
Time after time.
You were going to say Cyndi Lauper. You were also doing a Cyndi Lauper.
Yes. I was going to say that off. No, I was going to say, like, especially with the running back over there. Yeah. You know, is it to the left? Is it to the right? Is it down the center? How well did that run play?
Yeah. And that's what it's going to be, is they want to get him into an NFL camp and have him give him a chance to show his true colors.
Yeah.
You didn't catch that at all, did you? I made a second Cyndi Lauper reference.
Right over my head.
This happens time after time.
Caught the third one. Boom!
Anyway, as we said, his father was Terry Nugent, drafted by the Browns in the sixth round in 1984. And never even made it onto their active roster. Reappeared randomly in 1987 on the Colts and played in one game where he went 3 for 5 for 47 yards and rushed twice for 1 yard. So, yeah, needless to say, good college player, not much of an NFL career. So, hopefully his son Drake will not have that same fate. But, you know, we'll see. Again, sixth-round pick. I'm not going to go, you know, hold my breath for him to be a Pro Bowler anytime soon. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll find a home as a backup somewhere. Maybe he'll get a good career as a, you know, practice squad guy for a couple of years, just make some coin that way. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe he goes to the Chargers. The Chargers. Get Harbaugh back with him again. All right. We're moving off to the defensive side of the ball now. Oh, yes,
so
we are.
D.
We got some big names on that D there, too. So starts off with Jonah Ellis here out of Utah. His father is Luther Ellis, not to be confused with Luther Vandross. Jonah is 6'2", 246 pounds, just 20 years old. Turns 21 in April, though, so he'll be 21 by the time the season starts. Last year, 10 games, 37 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 12 sacks, 24 hurries, 3 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 84.7 PFF grade. Listen, anytime you get 12 sacks in college, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
That's 10 games, guys. That's like the equivalent of a 20-sack season in the NFL.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good record there. So, maybe, year before that, you know, he was 11 games, 26 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 21 hurries, 2 forced fumbles, and 2 fumbles recovered there. He'll definitely be on our edge show, so I don't want to go too much in the pros and cons there, so to speak, there with him, because we don't want to bore people when we get to that episode there. But yeah, he's a guy that probably will start off as somebody's pass, you know, rotation there for pass rushing, and, you know, hopefully bloom into a full time, you know, edge rusher for a team there somewhere. His father, again, Luther Ellis. 10-year career, played 95-04, all but the last year with the Detroit Lions. 2-time Pro Bowler, 331 career tackles, and 29 career sacks. But he was a good player. He was never that great player. He was always a good, above-average player, though, in the league there. So, definitely a solid
player. He also played with the Lions. They weren't so hot there, but, yeah.
Well, he played in the Barry Sanders days. I mean, that was the last good ride they had before Matt Stafford came along.
Touche. How many years did he play with Barry Sanders?
It says he was started in 95. Barry Sanders retired, what, 99 or 2000?
99. So, yeah. I guess half his career. All right.
He played 4 or 5 years with him. So, yeah. See? Yeah, here.
Yeah. Good.
All right, then we got Jalen Harrell out of Michigan. You notice a theme. There's a lot of Michigan players at this point coming out there. And then his father was James Harrell, who I literally had to find a picture of an old football card and get the picture from that. Get a picture for him. That's where I had to go. Just tells you what kind of career his dad had. Jalen Harrell out of Michigan, 6'4", 242 pounds. And again, Michigan is one of, I don't know what it is about Michigan. You're going to say like a quarter or a third of the team, of the guys on here are Michigan guys. Just 21 years old, so still pretty young there. Last year, 15 games, 31 tackles overall, 9 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 21 hurries, 1 pass is defended, 2 forced fumbles, a 77.0 PFF grade. prior year to that, 13 games, 30 tackles, 70.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 16 hurries, and 2 passes defended. Projected to be a 6th-round pick at that point. So you're going to see this guy come out probably as a guy that's got to fight for his job right off the very bat, basically. Yeah, well, I mean, his father was a backup most of his career as well, and he made a good career out of it. Again, his father was James Harrell, 8-year career, 7 of which was with the Lions. He played from 1979 to 1987, so obviously had kids a little older in life there. 89 games in total he appeared in with 32 starts. So now we got 2 more names left here, guys. And these are the 2 big names on defense here, really. These are the 2 names on defense that go, okay, their daddies had legit careers. The first one, again, I think you'll know who his father is right off the bat. And if you don't, shame on you. That goes for both of them, actually, I should say. We got Chris Jenkins, the son of Chris Jenkins. Now, I didn't see them ever refer to Chris Jenkins or the next guy, even for that matter, as a junior. So I'm not going to call him a junior. For all I know, they have different middle names. I didn't look that far.
I was about to say.
They might have different middle names. I don't know. But yeah, Chris Jenkins, the first one, played for a long time. It's a very well-known name there in the NFL circles. This Chris Jenkins, though, went to Michigan, 6'3", 305 pounds, 23 years old. Last year, 15 games, 37 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 18 hurries, 1 interception, 1 forced, 1 fumble recovered, 82.7 PFF grade. This past, I said the prior year prior to that in 22, 14 games, 54 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 16 hurries. And he will definitely be talked about, I think, in our defensive line show. So we're not going to talk too much about him here today. Just a big body that clogs up the middle. He's more of a run stopper. He does have some ability, as we talked about there, with, you know, some of the hurries at that point. He's getting at least 1 a game, which at least is something. It's not like he's providing nothing in the pass rush, but he's definitely more of an old school run stopper. But his dad was the same way. Chris Jenkins had a 10-year career from 01 to 2010, so it's very easy to figure out the math that was a 10-year career. Yes, it's a 2-time first-team All-Pro, 1-time second-team All-Pro, and 4-time Pro Bowler. So when you got a 10-year career and 4 of those 10, you made it to the Pro Bowl, you did something right. You did something right, yeah. And again, same thing. He was a big run stopper, just clogged up the middle, and that's what like his son was doing there in Michigan and looking to start doing there in the NFL going forward there. So next up, we got one more name for you guys here.
One more.
Some people claim he was a bullfrog. Some claim he was a good friend of mine. I never met the man before, either one. And that's Jeremiah Trotter, the son of Jeremiah Trotter. Again, this is another one like same as Chris Jenkins there. I never heard him called Junior before, so I don't know if they have different middle names, so I don't want to be that guy and just assume that there. Jeremiah plays over at Clemson, 6 foot even, 231 pounds. 21 years old. This past season, 12 games, 88 tackles, 15 tackles for loss. That's a pretty damn good number there. Yeah. 5.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, and 1 for a touchdown. 5 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles, and 85.7 PFF grade. Prior year, 14 games, 89 tackles, 13.5 tackles for loss, 6.5 tackles, half sacks, 2 interceptions, again, 1 for a touchdown there. 5 passes defended and 1 forced fumble there. So he will definitely be talked about in our linebacker episode. We do that. He is definitely 100%. One of the first linebackers that come off the board there. Probably, you know, like second, third round. We'll see when we finish our actual film review on him where we think exactly, but that's what I keep hearing. As far as his father, I think as Giant fans, most of us know his father pretty well. He had a 12-year career. 10 of those 12 years were with the Eagles. And it was actually 3 stints he had with the Eagles. They kept on getting rid of him and bringing him back and getting rid of him, bringing him back. It's a little crazy there. 1 first team All Pro, 1 second team All Pro, and a 4-time Pro Bowler. And he is in the Eagles Hall of Fame there. So, again, as much as we despise the Eagles, the man had a good career. When you're, like I said, 12 years in, that's a solid career. when you're, you know, one third of those years you're making to the Pro Bowl, it's a solid career. You're in the Hall of Fame of one of the team that you primarily paid for. It's a solid career. You know, it's hard to really knock the guy as much as I want to because he's an Eagle. He was a good player. You know, and obviously, like I said, we got a good chance to see him quite often there. During some of the years the Giants were really bad and during, you know, the tail end of our, you know, uphill battle we had as Eli started, you know, before he started to perform there. So yeah, that's it. 12 guys. 12. The dirty dozen here. And
not the Baker's dozen.
No, that'd be 13. We don't have, unless you got a 13th player I'm unaware of here. I don't have him on the list.
Bobby Boucher,
son of Bobby Boucher. Scouting reports.
With an enlarged obligata.
But yeah, no, again, got some big names here. Some really big, you know, shoes to fill there based on who their fathers are. Some of them will probably fill it admirably. Well, I mean by admirably, just not embarrassing themselves in the NFL. And some of them, quite frankly, just probably won't make it very far.
Some may be better.
Yeah, some might shock us. Who knows? Maybe Owens goes into the NFL and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, gets better. His dad played at Chattanooga. I mean, it's not like his dad played at a freaking amazing school at that point. Though I'm sure his dad had more than 500 yards receiving. I'm saying.
Sure.
I would imagine. I've actually never even looked at, you know, college tape of T.O. when he was there. Because, again, that's, you know, way before my time at that point.
Pretty much.
At least way before my time that I was actually watching football like that. I'm looking it up. I am looking it up there right now for us because I am a bit curious here. Let's see here if I can. Why is there field goal percentages? Is he shooting? He's doing field goals?
Wait a minute.
Oh no, this is the wrong TO. This is, you know, this is the TO in basketball. Did he play basketball there too? Oh my god, that'd be crazy. Anyway, yeah, he played 92-95 in Chattanooga, and he had 2,320 receiving yards during his career. So yeah, he didn't do great in college either. Who knows? Maybe his son's the same way. I did not expect that at all. I expected him to have a much better career at Chattanooga. I mean, they even put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, how do you put him in the Hall of Fame when he got 200 yards?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did catch at least one pass in 20 consecutive games. I guess that's good. Womp.
He's so
good. Yeah, like, but I said, turn to a stud in the NFL. So maybe his son will be the same way. Maybe college football just isn't for them.
People are just late.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I mean, we'll see. His kid's already 24. I don't know how much what he's waiting for at this point, but whatever. All right, guys. So we'll see you guys again next week. So next week we're going to start making the transition back to doing our top prospects for each of the groups. There, we're going to start off with the interior offensive line there on Monday. Again, barring any kind of crazy NFL news there, you know, I know people are trying to manufacture news right now because I know, like, the Giants on Easter are doing a private workout with J.J. McCarthy. They had people sent to both Michael Penix and Drake May's, you know, pro days that happened just today as we're recording, and sent a huge group to over to you know, over to Penix compared to what they sent to Drake May. So I'm not going to read too much into stuff. It's all smoke and screen and mirrors and all kinds of BS at that point. Joe Shane loves doing that. So yeah, we're going to find out who they draft on draft day. I'm not going to sit there and take anything too much with a grain of salt there. But hopefully Penix. Everybody knows I like Penix.
Do you?
I do. I know the shocker. Geez. Let's see what else we got. A couple more comments here from Connor. Connor's supposed to get O'Chain like you, Drew. Pay attention. Oh, he wants you to get one of these. That's what he wants. Yes. There you go. No. He wants you to get a Giants chain. Not a big flan.
My satchel.
He says, "You knew me almost so well, Drew," because I said about Ted Nugent, I knew that Connor would say something. And he says, Mama says, Drew is the devil, or is it Roberto? Nope, it's me. I've been called worse. It is what it is. All right, guys. We'll see you guys again. Again, Monday, we're doing our interior offensive line. For those of you guys who want to go back to, also, just so you know, all the different draft analysis we've been doing in these last couple weeks here, we've started putting up on YouTube specifically We're putting up the draft profiles for each of the individual players that we talk about here. Some of the guys here in this episode I will put up as well as draft profiles as well, since they're not guys that we'll talk about in the other episodes there too. So keep an eye out for that. Be a good way to kind of refresh some of these players here before draft night, because listen, we all like to know what we're talking about. We all do. If you guys like me, I don't care how late the draft is. I will be there. I will be up. I'll be waiting the 30 minutes between picks. It feels like it takes. Remember last year, Rob and I were exhausted beforehand. It was just like
crazy 20 content.
Minutes later, take a pick finally. So again, we'll be live though for you guys on draft night round one, and for the day two for rounds two and three there as well. So mark that off on your schedules. We will see you guys again on our Monday episode there, and then we're gonna start converting over to talk about the defensive players after that. So defense. All right, guys. We'll see you guys again. Have a great, happy, safe weekend there. Enjoy Easter, those of you guys that are celebrating. And those of you guys that are just going on alcoholic Easter egg hunts like you know.
Like Connor over here.
Yeah. What Connor says, you're done already. Shake my head. What do you want, dude? It's an hour, Connor. You've been spoiled. We've been doing hour and a half episodes like crazy.
We started off 45 minutes.
We're an hour in, Connor. How long do we need to have the show to make you happy, Connor? But yeah, like I said, we'll be back Monday, and Monday will probably be another hour and a half episode. So Connor will be
probably
happy. So yeah, we're going to talk about center and
9 o'clock.
Like we're doing interior offensive linemen. So we're doing two groups and one, so to speak. There's only a few centers that we're going to talk about. So I don't want to have to do a center episode. Then Connor will complain it took 20 minutes, so, you know, we can't do that. All right, guys. Again, we will see you guys again Monday. As always, Giant fans.
Go G-Man!
Go G-Man!
G-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So, I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?